All right, we're going to get started, and then people will come as they come. Just a little bit about my name is Nick Castellano, and the reason why I teach this is because I think too many people are disempowered by the fact that they think they have no power to change things, or maybe even to create things. And so what I'm going to do through the course is to teach the how-tos on how to create your day, and we're going to do it from the place of quantum physics, neuroscience, and the Bible. And we're going to see how they're all saying the same thing, and that's our goal. But we're going to talk in all these different languages also to arm up you guys for what they're teaching in schools, because we got to be armed up in order to come back at when they say evolution. We've got to know it violates a law five times. The second law of thermodynamics of chemistry five times. Well, we've got to be able to talk about that. So if a theory is if violates a law, you throw out a theory. So anyway, we're going to talk all kinds of things. And you don't have to agree with any of this, because we're going to kind of learn together as well. So if there's something that you know, bring it up. We'll talk about it. I won't say I know everything, because I don't. But it'll be fun. It'll be a good example. And we're going to have it every 2 weeks. We'll have this course every 2 weeks. And it'll be like this week we're going to talk about creating, because you can't do anything if you don't believe you have the ability to create. If you don't believe you can create, then you're just a victim on life's road, stuff happening to you. But if you believe you can create, then okay, now I know I can do it, but the next step will be, how do I do it? So that's what we're going to go from, creating that it's real, and then how do I go about doing that on purpose? So that's an important thing. So there's only one truth, as I told you. In all the three different disciplines, you all get to the same thing. You create the reality you live in. Dr. Nick Castellano. My background, quickly, and I know you guys know me, some may not, but I was a nuclear power chemical instructor for 10 years in the United States Navy. I got a master's in biochemistry and a doctorate in philosophy and theology. So I'm a nerd. And started this stuff, I went out to prove the Bible wrong, and I ended up finding out that the Bible was truth. And I took it from the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic to find out what it was really saying. And so when I put words up here that are from the Bible, I'll translate them so that we all can see what is it really saying. Because in the Bible, a lot of times it'll give you words like hope. And we think hope in today's text is, sure hope so. I hope. But that's not what it's saying. Hope means bold assurance. So when they said hope beyond hope, it meant I know that I know, right? And faith is belief with action. The word is pistis. See, we think just believing means we have faith. No, belief with the action as if it is. That's faith. So we'll go through this, and we'll start with the purpose to show that no matter what or which truth you choose to pursue, if you continue to dig, they all lead to the same truth. We have creative power in us through science, chemistry, physics, music, the word. In the beginning, now here's what we're going to do first. We're going to talk about, and I've changed a lot of these slides from if any of you ever seen it before, but in the beginning we're going to talk about science and spirituality, because they used to be one thing. They were one. Then man wanted to understand God's creation. He wants to understand, how does this stuff work? So if one could understand creation, he could understand God better. That was the whole point. So let's try to understand all this beautiful thing he created so we can understand him better. How did it all work? Man started to break down matter into smaller and smaller pieces. This seeking of the truth conflicted with some of the religious doctrine of that time. So all of a sudden we have these guys seeking, knowing how stuff's working, and then the religious people saying, no, no, the doctrine, not the Bible, but the doctrine of the religion saying, no, that's not how it is. Like one of the things, for example, was that the earth was the center of the universe. And that was a big, you were, what do they call it, excommunicated if you believed that the earth was not the center of the universe. So we'll get through some of those. So heresy, an introduced proposed change to some system of belief, especially religious in nature, conflicts with the previously established belief system. This goes both ways, religious to science or science to religion. the point I'm making here is it's you have a already, and so many of us do this, we have a belief in our mind. The big thing is once we have a belief system that we believe that we believe, it's so hard to change that belief system. As we used to say, it takes an ounce of information to form an opinion and a ton to change it. Why is that? Because you've actually formed a synapse in your brain. An axiom and a dendrite have come together and they formed, and now you've got a synapse path. And as you think that same way over and over again, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And that's how curses are transferred from one generation to another, because it's the way we think. It's the way we do things. So, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Something's missing. But it's also like, say, you believe you had a bad experience with some nationality, Latino. You had a bad experience. So all of a sudden, all Latinos are that way. And that's easy because you hang out with non-Latinos. You hang out with people who look like you. You people hang out with people who talk like you. That way, if we can keep doing that, we don't have to change. And we can stay exactly the same in our little world we've created. So this goes both ways, religious to science or science to religion, because you see, science is a religion. Scientists today, they are so, if you ever challenge a scientist's position, he defends it like you've just called his God some kind of a name. And so we've got to understand that when we're talking to people of science, that they actually are passionate about what they believe, because this is the way they've been wired now, and science becomes their higher power, their religion. So be sensitive to that. So faith and we had duality started. Faith and religion live by the word without translating the word. Basically, you remember in those days, nobody even read the Bible except for the priests. And they're the ones that were allowed to read it, and they'd tell the people, this is what it says. And the people would be sheeple and just follow blindly, right? Lost in religion, man-made rules, no godly purpose. They're lost in the doctrines of the different religions. And I say religion is man-made rules, no godly purpose. Because I'm not saying it's not, we're not supposed to have relationship, love God with all your heart, soul, and might, love your neighbors yourself. That's what we should have, but not religion. Science. Develop theories and laws that all things operated by. Develop the scientific method. Science was infallible, no mistakes, always truth. This is what we know. This is what the kids are taught at school. When science is shoved down them, they don't make mistakes. The word science from scientia, it's a Latin meaning knowing or knowledge. So let's look at some science that may not have been truth. Back in the day, in 495 BC, Empedocles came up with the first four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. Everything was made of that. This truth was the same for about 1,000 years. We know today that's probably not true. Everything's not made out of earth, air, fire, and water. Science was wrong. No way. But science at the time was wrong. And I'll get into some stuff of today that's wrong, that was wrong. Hippocrates said everything, all people were made, the body was made out of black bile, yellow bile, phlegm, and blood. So black bile came from earth. So if you had too much black bile, you were melancholy or sad. If you had too much yellow bile, you were angry, fire. If too much water in you, you were tranquil, you were good. And then if you had blood, you had positive and optimistic, you were optimistic to bad situations, so you were sanguine. This was the belief. This was the belief for 1,000 years. Greeks, Romans, Persians, Muslims, Western Europe. Imagine if you said something besides this, where you would turn, you'd be a nut, because this was what they believed. But it's not truth, we know that today. So we'll get a little more modern. Prior to 1960, there were four forces. This is what I learned. Four forces that act on matter. Gravity, electromagnetic, strong nuclear and weak nuclear forces. These are the ones I used to teach. However, 1960 to 1985, three forces that act on matter. Gravity, strong nuclear, and they combine electromagnetic and weak nuclear. Oops, our bad. But we got it now. Then, 1986 to 2005, two forces that act on matter, gravity, and they combine all the rest of them. Okay, but now we really have it. We got it now. Science is, I got it. But then 2005 to present, the toe theory, theory of everything. All forces are just varying forms of one universal force that all come from one source. But we knew that, didn't we? See, so even the modern, some of the modern theories, like, for example, what about Pluto? Pluto's not a planet anymore, right? Used to be a planet. It was a planet for as long as I ever knew. But now it's a planetoid. Why? Because they found other planets outside of Pluto. They would have to give those guys names. And Planet X, Planet Y, whatever. Carbon-14 dating assumes the universe is 14 billion years old and Earth 14 million. And you know it's 14 million because of the song and the Big Bang Theory. 14 million years ago. There you go. So, there's no, so the, and quantum physics says there is no matter. So that's what's the matter. So we're going to discuss all these things. Carbon-14 dating. Now, nerd time. Don't get lost, but carbon-14 dating. Decay half-life is 5,730 years to nitrogen-14. That means the amount of time it takes for half of it to go away is 5,730 years. Now, as a nuclear chemist, I knew the most you can ever do for half-life is five half-lives. Because after that, the mistake ratio is so great, you don't go past five half-lives. So nitrogen-14, then, plus a neutron from the sun, beta decays to carbon-14, plus a proton goes to nitrogen-14. Assumed Earth millions of years, and it makes this assumption again. All carbon dating assumes to start out the Earth is millions of years old. Because there's no way. They just say, let's just assume. I got the sheet from, what's his name? Sal Giardina. He's a geologist, and he does carbon dating. And he's the one that shows you the sheet. And the first assumption is, well, the first question is, how old do you think it is? Because they want to set their machine to kind of make you right. Assumed the ratio of carbon-14 to carbon-12 was constant over time. And here's the ratio in this, 1 to 1 trillion. So it's not like, you know, there's a lot of zeros in 1 trillion. Assumed a baseline of carbon-14 in dead materials based on the carbon-12. So you're just assuming, well, if he'd have been alive, he'd have had this much. So we got to assume, assume, and assume. And then based on all these assumptions, an organic material's age is determined. That's how carbon-14 works. The problem is that after five half-lives, you cannot calculate the age accurately. It'd be 28,000 years would probably be about the best you'd want to go because then you get into too much error. At 30,000 years equilibrium, it should be achieved. So the production rate and the decay rate should be the same. However, and this is important, we're not at equilibrium today because the production rate is 18.8 atoms per gram and the decay rate is 16.1 atoms per gram. That's saying it's less than 30,000 years old right there. Just using science, using their own words with them, your production rate is still greater than your decay rate, so it's not even 30,000 years old, this Earth you're talking about, based on what they say. They just throw that out. And the firmament, this is for the Christian. There was something called the firmament in the day. You guys remember reading about that in the Bible? Anybody know what the firmament is? Or was? A layer of what? What do you... It was water over it. Because we remember during the flood, what happened? Water came from there and from the earth, right? And flooded it out. Because it was so much water that the earth couldn't contain it, so it flooded the whole earth out, right? So if there was a firmament there and the sun was being attenuated, there'd be a 1,000-time error in the actual count, which would actually, when you do the calculations, come pretty dang close to 20-some thousand years. Shielded, attenuated, yeah. Yeah, and now I'm going to have a picture of it, too. How long were Adam and Eve in the garden? Question. Week, 3 days, 24 hours, just had a bad day, boom, you're in, you're out, put the flaming sword up there, don't ever come back again. Or was it thousands of years? Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, it may be, because it sounds like he got bored with her already, and he's out, you know, naming animals and stuff, and she's talking to snakes. If you think about it, right? The second time, when she brought the fruit with him and stuff. Does it? Okay, cool. That's cool. So he's just an idiot. Man, whatever you want to do, babe, I'm good. But then he knew, because God told him not to eat that fruit, and he knew not to, but he did anyway to keep peace in the family. How many times we do that, guys? I don't know. Don't raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Good point. Don't know. First son on the earth, right? Yeah. Yeah, did say that. Genesis 1:6 says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." I just want to show you that the word firmament was actually there. "And let it divide the waters from the waters." That's weird. Dividing the waters from the waters. "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven." The word is shemayin, which means sky. Doesn't mean where he hung out. "And the evening and the morning were the second day." And that's kind of what it would have looked like, if you will. And that's what the, so there was, and so you wonder, you'll notice right after the flood, the amount of time in the Bible that people lived drops off markedly. Because all, you know, people are living 900 years, 800 and some years, and now the earth doesn't have that nice protective firmament around it, and the earth is not a perfect place anymore. It's even got a little wobble on it, 365 and a half, quarter days or something. Every 4 years, you got to make an adjustment. And it's because we had the flood and we lost our firmament. I believe it was probably like that. And then it turned into that after the flood. I think so. But don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not going to be like, millions of years ago, Carl Sagan, he says it like he was there. Now, I took a picture of it, really. Or another picture of it. Waters above the firmament, firmament of the sky. Modern day beliefs. We'll get into this quantum physics a little bit. Any questions so far? Just kind of warming up. Okay. We have a universe, and then a universe goes to a galaxy, and a galaxy goes to a solar system. Solar system has planets. Planets made up of matter. Matter has atoms. Atoms are made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons. And then we have quarks. Anybody know what a quark is? Little tiny dude. What do quarks make up? Protons and neutrons. Two up quarks and a down quark is a proton. Two down quarks and an up quark is a neutron. So there, and what are they? They're little energy packets. So all of a sudden, we don't have matter in a proton or a neutron. We have energy packets, or we have quarks. We create, and we get in, and now I'll say what the Bible says, and then we'll get into the deep stuff. "For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." It's hard to read that way. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. And the Lord said, if ye had faith a grain of mustard, a mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it shall obey you. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." These are the things that Christians get so disappointed in, were those four scriptures right there. If all that's true, what the heck? Why am I flat busting disgusted? Right? So, the word bara is when God created everything, he barad. It's from the Hebrew. It means to create from nothing. But there's another word called asa. And asa is to create from that which already is. For by him were all things created, barad, and are that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So we have bara and asa. So I can't create from that which is not. But he created all things visible and invisible. And I see my job as taking what he's created in the unseen realm and bringing it into the seen realm, that I have that power. Because he laid it up for me. He's empowered me to bring it from the unseen to the seen. Did he say that really? In the Message Bible. Yeah.
So, in other words, they were saying, you have the power to pull from the invisible, bring it into the visible.
Right. Right. The problem, I think, and we're going to talk about this later, is, but how do we do it? I'm sure we'd like to know how. Because, or we can just stay in the victim mindset, and there's great power in victim, because you don't have to do nothing. Stuff just happens to you. Or taking the time. That's right. Okay, we're going to get into it. Quantum physics. What's that? That's truth. Now that science is catching up with the word, we can actually explain it a little bit through the double slit experiment. So we'll go through. I'm going to go through it really slow because I want everybody to get it. Because I remember you were saying you hear it all the time, but you don't get it. So I want you to get it. You can ask me any questions, but I put extra slides in here so it should make it easier to see. No, they don't know why. They have a theory.
Yep.
And that gets them messed up.
So when you're relating this to, in terms of, I guess, Bible understanding, is your faith, your belief, what is true to you?
Truth. So in 1801, physicist Thomas Young theorized and performed the first simple experiment. And in 1964, Dr. Richard Feynman, who we've all heard of if you watch Big Bang Theory or something, in 2012, he did this. The researchers at the University of Nebraska Lincoln performed the double slit experiment with electrons as described by Richard Feynman successfully, and they did it successfully over and over and over again. There's Dr. Quantum, and we're going to talk about the double slit experiment. This guy, Dr. Alan Wolf, draws himself like a superhero. Yeah, I don't have the video on it. I mean, I've looked at it a million times, but it also gets into some stuff that can be confusing because they start throwing all these formulas up there, and it could hit him and can collide here and do this, and I didn't want to do that. So first we had these marbles. They shot them through. You got a slot. Let me see if I got the picture. Yeah, so they shot them through a slot, right? Single slot. And on the back of the wall, it made that single optical screen view of this right here. Does that make sense? What you did is just shot marbles through something that makes wherever the marble hit in the back, it made a little mark. Does that make sense? I want to make sure. No, they all came out vertical. Boom, 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 boom. Just like it is. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Yeah, that was the top view. And there it is right there. That's what it looked like. Okay? Then they said, all right, let's do the macro where they shot the marbles through two slits. And so we had two, boom, 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 boom. That's how it started to look when it was about halfway done. One and two. Now, then that was what it looked like on the piece of paper. Now we have water. Now what they did, they took that single slit and they immersed it in water, okay? And then why are we doing this? We're trying to see how does matter act and how does waves act. That's why we're doing this. Let's see the difference. Right. So they tap the water, and you see the wave moves forward till it hits the slit. And then you have these waves go forward, and the most energy is right there in the center, right? And there's another view of it, water. The waves, the darkest, the real dark big peak that you really see is in the center, and it'll look up something like that. So that's how tapping the water makes a single, pretty much a single looking heavy wave on there on the paper for a single slot. Now a double slot, this is where you get into stuff. Because you tap the water again, it goes through both slots, and then the little crests and troughs start to hit each other. And they make little crests and trough, and it starts to make this thing they call an interference pattern on the back of the wall there. Because they're banging into each other. The two waves are banging in. It's one wave and then boom, it's all kinds of waves. Wave, 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 banging into each other. Does that make sense? We okay with that? I know you are. You know this stuff. And that's another, and this is the pattern it would make on the back of the wall. It would look something like that. Okay? Interference pattern. So we know that marbles or matter gives you the one, the two, and waves give you the one or the interference pattern when they react with each other. Now let's go quantum. We're going to go micro. We're going to shoot electrons using this little gun here. We shot the electrons through the single slot. Hallelujah, praise God, look at it. It did that single slot thing just like it's supposed to. The electrons are acting like matter. We're so happy. The scientists were so happy. And that's what it looked like. I can neither confirm nor deny that. I know. And they're electrons, too. Photons and electrons, when we're in nuclear power, we call them the same thing. Because they are, and they're not. They're exactly. Or you can find one working here and one a universe away spinning in the same direction, and they're joined. What's that about? But you get that's beyond the scope of this little experiment. So we got the electrons coming in through two slots, and this is what they said is going to happen. You know, we figured, okay, matter did that. It makes the two little slots. And they figured it would just make the two little single marks in the back there. That's what they expected it to look like that. Because it's matter. Electrons are matter. Because we already got rid of the protons and neutrons. They know they're made out of quarks, which are energy packets. But thank God for our electron. It's the last bit of matter we have. Unfortunately, what they actually saw was this interference pattern. And they were like, what the heck? It's making this interference pattern like it's acting like a wave. So they said, well, we don't like that. Let's shoot one electron at a time. And so they shot one electron at a time because they said, maybe the electrons are running into each other and making a weird pattern like this interference pattern. So they shot them one at a time. And what'd they get after hours of shooting these electrons? An interference pattern. And they were like, what the heck is going on? Because that's what they kept getting. And that's the real one. That's what it actually looks like. So they said, let's look at it. Let's see what's happening. So they put a measuring device on it. And son of a gun, when they looked on it and observed it, it acted like matter. So when it wasn't being observed, it was wave potentials. When it was being observed, it was matter. You know, you would say, how does it know? How does it know I'm looking? How does it know I'm not looking? Because it acts one way when I'm not looking, acts another way when I'm looking. So Dr. Fenneman's first conclusion was man's observation and expectation on the subatomic realm, and this is a theory, like you said, on the subatomic realm, changed the outcome of the experiment drastically. What was wave potentials became matter based on the expectation of the observer to see it. The funny thing is even in atoms and stuff, when you're looking, you're trying to find the electron, you're looking for it, there it is. Because you expect it to be, there it is. But it's got to be, yeah, there it is. Because your expectation made it so. Just expecting it made it so. See, that's why, well, I'm not going to get ahead of me. I get too pumped about this. But proving that man in his consciousness interacts, controls, influences matter in its formation. What was a wave potential when acted upon by the thoughts and expectation of the observer became matter, as and where expected. What does the word say? So now we're going to get into So any questions just on the double slit experiment? Everything acted like wave potentials when it went through that, when the electrons, the little piece of matter supposedly, were shot through the double slots, and but when no one observed it, it acted like waves. When they observed, they acted like matter. In quantum physics, they call that collapsing the quiff. In other words, it went from a wave potential to being real, matter, because we consider matter real. Well, how many potentials do we have for every situation we go through in life? How many choices, if you will, do we have? We can make any choice we want. Right now I can stand up, jump up and down. Not really very good anymore, but I could. There's so many choices you could make in every circumstance. And when you believe it should be where you believe it should be, it is, based on the choice you make. That's why before it was wave potentials. All these different choices you can make. But as soon as you say, I'm settling for this one, boom, it becomes so. And, you know, that's how we get in ruts. Because we always settle for the same rut. We settle for this thing called comfort. Comfort. I'm comfortable. And comfort kills our success. Comfort kills our growth. Comfort kills. We want new stuff, but we don't want to do the uncomfortable thing and try new things. We don't want to think a new way. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. What you don't want. So what are you giving energy to? What you don't want. So what are you going to get? What you don't want. Yeah, I hate bills, I hate bills, I hate bills. Well, get ready for more of them because you're bringing them to you, because all you're focusing on is, see, here's where neuroscience comes in. I'm not going to talk about that today, but neuroscience doesn't, the subconscious mind doesn't understand don't, not, no, those words. All it hears is bills, 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 or I don't want to smoke. I don't want to smoke. It hears smoke, 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 smoke. Or I don't want to drink. Drink, 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 drink. Just go ahead and drink. Say what you want. I want a healthy body. Right? I want to live a long time for my kids. I want to, whatever is positive, focus on that stuff, not on what you don't want, what you do want. And for a lot of people, that's hard to do because they're so used to saying what they don't want, they don't even know how to think of what they do want. No, I hear what you're saying. But if you're focusing on what you don't want, you're going to bring it to matter, and it's going to be a bad thing of what you don't want. You just created it because you gave it your energy. The dog you feed is the one that that's going to get bigger, right? So, the wave pattern is the potentials for, go ahead. Right, is 100,000 wave patterns, right? Yep. Yep. To be in that spot, and it collapses. Well, don't start your sentence off with that, because that's bad.
It's actually who you are. It's actually what you believe in heart. Because I may want something.
Right. That's true, because you just want it. That's right. And so we can dismiss now. I'm kidding. Hey, no, that's all right. I'm kidding. We just went through something called the double slit experiment, and it was the nerd stuff. So anyway, so what you were saying is what you want is what you're going to tell me exactly how you said it again.
Right.
But you'll never see it.
But you
It's when you receive it. It's when you receive it in your heart that you know that you got it. Is when you get it. That's right. Not wanting a thing.
Feeling the thing.
That's right, whatever it happens to be. I'm not even going to get into it, but I'm going to just touch on it. There's a thing in the heart. The heart has 5,000 times more power in electromagnetic waves than the brain. So what you believe, when the Bible says what you believe in your heart, the heart flow, the issues of life, it means the heart. It don't mean the subconscious. It doesn't mean all this other stuff. Because what you believe in your heart, if you really feel in your heart, this should be, it is. Like some things, bad things happen in threes. Okay, now if you were raised with that and you've seen it before, because, you know, then you see one bad thing, you know two more are coming, Jack. Well, who's creating that? We are. Because we're expecting two more bad things. You had a question. Well, it is, and now you're even getting into weird stuff. Because electricity, just so you know, there's electron flow or hole flow. What's really causing everything to light up? No one knows. I'm just saying, nobody really knows. They know formulas, P equals IE squared of 3 power factor. Yay, what does that mean? Well, I need a current carrying conductor and magnetic field and relative motion between the two of them. Yay. But who cares? It doesn't tell me what is electricity. And people don't know. It's a theory. It's electron flow, hole flow. Hole flow is a space in between the electrons. So your question is, I don't know. Tesla's the man. Tesla's the man. AC, yeah. But I'm saying Tesla's the man because he was in a different realm than Edison was. He invented the alternating current, which it was what a three-phase AC. Edison hated him. Anyway, so we were there, and we get into Hebrews. So we just talked about we create our own reality. And then Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Does it say tomorrow faith? No. Does it say yesterday faith? No. There's only one type of faith that works in creating, and that's now faith. Now faith. Now faith. Why does that work? Because you lined up with I am. His name isn't I was. It isn't I will be. The only time we have power is when we line up with I am. In that moment, in that instant, how many times are you creating something? I'm going to make this in the future. Well, it's nice to have a plan, but don't think, because you're never going to get there. Go ahead and create now. Create now. Does that make sense? Because it's almost like we don't give ourselves permission to create. Because then we might be disappointed if something doesn't happen. Yep. Or you don't believe. And either one, you're right. Because quantum physics teaches us we're always right. What we expect is what we get. We're always right. Well, I just knew that was going to happen. Yep. And you're right. We, you know, we say these things that just pop out of our face that are so condemning to us. I'm just stupid as my dad was or something. Or I'm just a moron. What am I, a dope? And you're right. Why can't we say edifying stuff about ourselves? I know, we can change that. But again, first takes an ounce of information to form an opinion. Time to change it. We've got to learn that we're the boss of us, not the stuff they programmed into us. We can change this. So the language in the New Testament, Old Testament, most biblical scholars adhere to the view that the Greek text of the New Testament is the original version and Hebrews in the Old Testament. Greek, Aramaic, but Greek was the intelligent language of the time, and all the people that were educated wrote in Greek. We'll use the Greek and Hebrew translations when teaching in this class, and all will be taken from the King James Version of the Bible. ESORD app translate. So if you want to know, well, how did he get that word? Where did it mean? The app is ESORD.net. It's free. And you can just download it. Then you scroll over any of the words, and it tells you what the word is, what it is in the Greek, and what it means. So it takes all the mystery out of what is the Bible really saying there. It doesn't do it in Apple? Oh, well, I don't have Apple, so it's free. It works on iPhone? Sounds like an excuse to me. We can't, no excuses in this. Oh, strong. Well, that's, yeah, got it. So let's go through it. We're going to go through it like a nerd real quick. Yeah, I thought it was. So 11:1 says now, where the word is day, which means faith is now, because God is I am, right? That's the only kind of faith that works is now faith. Faith, pistis, belief with action. This is hard for Christians and the religious views. Belief with action, as if it's already manifested, as if it's already done. Right? When they teach you to prayer, supplication, and celebration. Why are you celebrating? Because it's already happened. Because I prayed and I supplicated. I know it's happening. That's good. As if. Belief with action. Not I believe. What are you doing about it? Well, I just believe. I'm sitting here in my prayer closet doing nothing. I'm praying, maybe. Maybe not. Is, esti, makes or creates is what the word means. The substance, hypostasis, essence or building blocks, of things hoped for, elpizo, expected. The evidence, elehogos, proofed, of things, pragma, the word is matter, not seen, blepo, looked on by the natural eye. So what does that mean? It says, in the now, belief makes up the essence and or building blocks of things expected and is proved by the appearance of matter not previously seen by the naked eye. That's what the Bible said when it's translated. It's saying, you expect it, you get it. Double slit experiment says, where do you expect it to be? And you're right. Does that make sense? It's hard because when I say it's hard, it's this. Now we have responsibility. I mean, that's why all these little lessons are in the Bible. Capture each thought and hold it up to the glory of God. You know, capture it. Don't let your thinker be on the loose or else who knows what you're going to create in your life when it's going all over the place. Keep yourself in a strong relationship role. Keep yourself, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. Keep yourself in a meditative place. Keep yourself in a peaceful place. And you got to know who you are, which we're going to get into later, but identity is so important. If you don't believe that you're worthy of anything, then you're right. You're not going to get anything. Proverbs says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Again, I touched on heart before, but it is heart, and it means keep your heart, watch your heart, manage your heart, protect your heart with all diligence, because out of it is where life, your life, is comes from your heart. And you know, how many times do we find ourselves doing the same things our father did that we said we'd never do? But we were programmed with it, so it got into our heart, and then all of a sudden we're looking just like our dad. And then our kids' kids, and our kids, he was a drinker, and then he's a drinker, and then we're all drinking, and it's just, who's going to be the curse breaker? Who's going to think a different way? Who's going to say no more? So they even labeled it for you. Right. Right. Yep. And you said the key words, because whatever comes after I am is truth. Because, you know, it's the most powerful words we can say, I am. God says, I am that I am. Yeah, okay. So I say, I am a loser. Well, that's not good. Exactly, and that's why what they call you is so important. And that's why when you pick a name for a kid, God changed everybody, a lot of people's names. Didn't he? No, I'm not pointing at you, but Make it a good name. Not, oh, okay. He did enough already.
Mm-hmm. I've always kind of thought it from a perspective of like something that is more physical and tangible that's coming against, you know, like say, you know, there's a relationship, right? You guard your heart. You don't give your heart to that.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So this new reality is the fact that there are things that we're not even aware of. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's these things that really kind of...
How did it manifest itself in you?
Well, all four arteries.
Oh, you had a four-way bypass.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So it just seems like there's...
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Myself as not being super anxious or super stressed, but...
Right. You know, and what we were good at doing a lot of times is hiding whatever that thing is deep inside, and that even makes it worse on the inside, so it displays itself as dis-ease, right? Because we're not at ease, so it manifests itself as dis-ease in our body. And we get sick, or we have a four-way bypass of our heart. You know, thank God you got through it. Got it. So what, you know, and I would say to you, so when you're anxious, what's the notice? Because it sounds like you don't have a notice. Because I know my notice is as soon as I start trying to control things that I know I have no control over, I'm in a bad spot. I got to stop, start over, read my I am statement or my gratitude list, get myself in a better place because I got to have that notice. You know, fear, lack, worry. Are they your notice? I'm in fear. Okay, stop. Halt. Let's get myself back into a good place because all I can create from fear, lack, and worry are more things that give me fear, lack, and worry. We think we're going to find the answer in fear, lack, and worry, right? But it doesn't exist in fear, lack, and worry. It exists in peace, joy, and love where he laid it up for us. So you got to get you into that place of peace, joy, and love so that you can get the answer that was always laid up for you. How many times you've been through stuff and you're struggling and you're stressing and and all of a sudden you just go, forget it. And boom, the answer. And I, incorrectly, associate all that stress and work and hard stuff as that's how I got to the answer. No, it was the moment I let it go is that the answer was always there. Truth. If you believe, see, and this is what we've got to get, the spirit realm is the real realm. The unseen is the real realm. This is the physical realm we live in. This is a temporary time here. But everything comes from the unseen to the seen, the spirit realm. So, but we don't give enough credit to it. We believe our five senses instead of believing our spiritual senses. We don't develop those enough. It's hard to develop those, you know. But that's the truth. Is that we create through your heart, which is so cool. That's why he's saying protect it, because this is the creator of stuff, the heart. This is the thinker to get through problem solving. This is the creator. Right? Does that make sense? So we create a reality based on our expectations in our heart. We kind of okay with that? We're always right. We're not okay with that, but that's the truth. When we believe something's coming our way, good or bad, we're right. How many times have you known something good's coming? You already knew it. You're at rest with it. You know it's coming, and it's not there yet, but you know that you know. So when it comes, it's not even a big deal because you already knew. Examples, bad things coming threes. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because, you know, something good happened, so, and I know, God forbid, I'm not worthy for anything good to happen in my life, so something bad has got to happen to counter that good. And weren't a lot of us raised with that? Can't be that good. Too good to be true. too good to be true. Why don't we just take it apart right now? Here it is. There's your new too good to be true. No, psych, it wasn't mine, really. I just wanted to mess with you. Too good to be true. You're just like your father. And then they put those labels on you. And then, especially little kids, then they identify with those labels. And they're not even protected at that point. They're just, oh, whatever, you know, because you're their higher power. You're dad. You're mom. Or I go from glory to glory to glory. That's something we can do. We can go from good to better to best. But when we say that, we feel, oh, well, who am I to do all that stuff? Well, you're righteous of Christ, head not a tail, example of goodness, strength, and morality. Your light shines brightly. You're the Son of God. There's so many things I can think of that are why you should, because you represent Him. You magnify Him. You're going to magnify and be like, that might be a microscope. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about those. Anybody know about the water experiment? I might talk about that just a little. You guys know about that? Dr. Yamamoto? Yeah, I've got a whole teaching on that, so I don't want to really touch on it. But the idea was this. Yeah, the idea was this. What he did was he would pray or bless waters from this lake in Japan. And what he would do is pray or bless these waters. And they'd take frozen crystal pictures of the water without the prayer and then the water with the prayer. Or he'd put these labels on the bottle, like he says, "I love you," or these labels would say, "I hate you," or "I can't stand you." Now the crystal structures of the ones that said "I love you" were just beautiful, looked like, you know, shining stars. They were just amazing. And the ones that said "I hate you" were ugly, deformed, brownish, terrible looking crystals. So how much of the body is made up of water? About 80%? You're such a nerd, man. Keith Myers is a nerd. But, truth, you're right, a lot of water. So when we say things about ourselves or when others say things to us, how does it affect us? Well, it all depends on if you believe it or not. That's where, you know, let's talk about it a little aside. You know, voodoo gets its power from the belief that people have that those people have power. And you're right. Oh, they stuck a needle in a little doll they made. Oh! And you're right. You made it powerful. If you don't believe it does, it has no power. You know, it's just the way things are. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, that's the thing. It's a fruit. It's a seed. It's a fruit. What time is it? I don't want to. Oh, I got about 6 minutes or so. So what you say is what you get. What if you ever want to be disappointed, and I did this one day, write down what you say or record yourself one day and hear how many negative things you say about yourself in one day. We don't even realize it. We tear ourselves up. And then how can we expect great things in our life when we're tearing ourselves up? Healing experiment, we're not going to go into that. Okay, I didn't want to do that. What? Did it? Oh. All right, well, I didn't know that. I thought they'd. I'm so used to going an hour. I'm trying to think. I don't want to do that. I'll talk about it. Let's just talk. Let's get away from the PowerPoint. No, go ahead. Give it to me. Well, I gave it to you, but give it to me. Mm-hmm. Right. And they can measure this. This is measurable. EMF waves.
They have satellites that are above the Earth right now that are measuring the Earth's magnetic field and measuring the Earth's frequency at 7.8 hertz and all this kind of stuff. They also
called Schumann Resonance.
And when a catastrophic thing happened on the planet, say they had a spike in the electromagnetic field of the Earth, and they saw it. Now these two independent companies saw the same thing at the same time. They didn't know they were both recording this.
It actually, and here's the cool thing, it started rising before it happened. They start seeing this big spike coming, and they're watching it, and they're looking and going, what the heck's going on? What's going on? And it's like everyone knew something's coming.
They would actually measure the emotion of the people on the planet. Now, all the emotion, when it was announced, in about a 15-minute time, those pictures were around the world.
Yep. Yep.
9/11. The human heart is that powerful that it can change. So,
yep.
If you've got these people in this room, and you're in one accord, that's powerful.
It is power.
That's the power of the human heart. That's the power that you have as one person. You have that power to change.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about the heart, but since we're there and we got time. You know, we've got the heart brain. There's something called the heart brain. I don't know if you've heard of that before or not, but you can look it up in Google. And there's 40,000 ganglion in the heart itself. So when the Bible's talking about, you know, from your heart, thinking from your heart, coming from your heart, there's a heart brain. And what it does is how do they knew that it was actually working was transplanted a heart from one human being to another, they've actually caught the murderer of the one person because of the transplant in the other person. They could see the face of the person that killed them. Or this one woman, this was a great little case study, she's sitting there on a Sunday afternoon drinking a beer, watching football, going, what the heck am I doing? Because the person she got the heart from every Sunday, that's what he did. So you started taking on some of the characteristics of the person who had it in their heart, because this is where the deep stuff lies. This is where the power lies, is in the heart. So we've been dumbed down that the heart is just a muscle. That's what we've been taught. Heart's just a muscle, just no big deal. But truthfully, the heart is the creative factory. The brain is the thinker. This is the factory. So we've really got to watch what we say, how we say it, when we say it, because we create the reality we live in. So questions, statements on that. You know, I know you're getting tired, baby. Look at her. Well, the essence was, the essence of who the person was. Yep. Yep.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
So that's why, you know, that brain was picking up now on these signals, because now it's in conjunction with this new
one. Mm-hmm. Yep. So with that being said, I just wanted to talk about, you know, what we're creating in our lives and what we want to change in our lives, because... you know, for me, it was really hard to receive any kind of wealth because I didn't think I was worthy of wealth. And when you don't think you're worthy of it, you're not going to get it because you're fighting yourself. Now, I never knew about this heart stuff until recently. So then I, of course, in 4 days, I changed it all around. No, it took a long time. Even though I knew the answer, I didn't know the answer. And it takes a while to reprogram this mess. The word is repent in the Bible, which means to think a new way, right? So it doesn't mean to beat yourself on the back with a stick because you're a loser. It means think a new way. Let's think a new way and let's try it again. So let me tell you the story. The first day, I was saying I'm going to try this meditation garbage because it's new age meditation. I don't know. Hope I don't see Satan. I'm very nervous because I've been trained that if you meditate, you know, you're going straight to hell because it's a new age thing. So anyway, I was going to learn how to be quiet, shut this brain off for a moment. So I went out back, and I'm getting breathing in through my nose, out through my mouth, and I'm meditating and trying to get quiet and finally get to that place of quietness. And they said, pick a scene you like. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to see God. That was my deal. So I got all quiet, and so I ended up starting off every day. Got off all quiet, and I see myself coming up like a ladder I'm climbing, and Peter reaches down, because I'm an old Catholic boy, that's where I started, so Peter was there at the gate, right? So he's picking me up, and I give him a big hug, because I like Peter, because he's passionate, he hacks people's ears off, I like that dude, he's all right. So I give him a big hug, and he opens the gate, and I go, all right, so I'm going in, and I'm walking, and I see this big, giant, tall, I say giant, he's like 6 foot, brown, green eyes coming toward me, and I realize, that's Jesus. He's in white. He's got a big smile on his face. And he comes up, and this is my mornings now, and he gives me a hug. And then he says the words I wasn't ready for. He takes this robe out, puts it over me, says, Papa wants to see you. And I go, whoa, Papa wants to see me. So I go, what did I do wrong? You know, because when my father ever wanted to see me, I did something wrong. So I'm walking toward the throne room. Really nervous, I'm slouched down. I remember the Bible verse, go boldly before the throne. I went, oh, so I stand up, throw shoulders back, and I go boldly, and I'm walking boldly before the throne, and I'm looking, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and there's angels there, and there's singing going on, and all this stuff, and I see him catch me out of the corner of his eye, and he goes, shh, my son approaches. And I go, oh, Jesus must have showed up. He must be behind me here. And he realized he's talking about me. And when I realize that, I come up to him and I look up and I say, Papa, can I sit on your lap? And he picks me up and he puts me on his lap and I hug him. It's hard. You got to really be there, smell him, feel him. And then he says to me, what are we going to create today? And that was a whole new concept for me. What am I going to create today was an amazing thing. So the point being, that's how I started my day. And then all of a sudden, that day, a stock that I had held for I don't know how many years, went public. And I had 500,000 shares. And it opened at $7 a share. One day, broke. Next day, 7 times 500,000, $3.5 million. Boom. All I did was hug the man. So I go, well, this is cool. So the next day, I do the same thing. And I say, he says, what do you want to create today? I go, I just want you to do something amazing with me, but I don't want you to tell me what it is. So I say, okay. So I just want to see what's real, because, you know, my mind right away is saying, oh, this is just a coincidence, just happened. There's no way I really did anything here. And so I'm driving down the road, and a buddy of mine calls. Nick, yeah, this is Dr. So-and-so. I go, how you doing, buddy? What's going on? You know that piece of land across the street from you? I said, yeah, that's a nice 1.5-acre plot. It's worth about $1 million-something. He goes, yeah. I've been fighting it for 3 weeks. I'm supposed to give it to you. I pull over the side of the road, doing it now, bawling my eyes out because I just got a million and a half dollar piece of land, and I didn't do nothing. And all it was I went up and saw him and hugged him, and he showed me you're on the right track. So just think about that. In 2 days, you went from broke to $5 million worth of stuff. Just because instead of being created upon, I created my day. You can either have a plan or be part of someone else's plan. And I think most of us are trained to be part of someone else's plan instead of having our own plan, instead of creating our own day, instead of doing what we want to see happen. And then you do that from a place of authority, and it's amazing what'll happen. So I don't know if anybody has any similar stories. Yeah, I mean, my buddy Drew, he likes the throne room, but he's not a big hugger. So he just stands there talking to God. I'm like, that's cool. Yeah, I don't sit on his lap. All right, that's all right, man. I don't care. Whatever works for you. But do something in the morning on purpose. If you start your day like that on purpose, it's so amazing what takes care of itself that you don't even have to mess with. Because the lie was, I got so much to do, I don't have time for that. But the only thing I was created for was that. Relationship with God. He created me to walk in the cool of the garden with him. But I don't have time for that because I got too much stuff to do. Well, if I don't have time for that, what am I doing? But I had to do a whole switch because I thought it was cool to be busy. I thought it was wonderful to stay, look like you're moving, right? And you know, and then you look at the word and what that means. It's ergon. It just means toil. It's my dad. I'm just toiling, not doing anything of value. So, anything else? I'm not. Let me just read this last thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus did some stuff. I mean, you know, you look at it, he did some stuff. It don't matter what religion you go from, he did some stuff, except for the Jewish religion. But Muslims said he did some stuff. Everybody, all the other religions say he did some stuff. So if the dude did so much stuff, works, and we're supposed to do greater works, and I looked it up, it means in magnitude and number, what are we waiting on? Well, I'm not worthy. There's the lie. It's not about us, right? It's about that. You guys missed the quantum physics part, but it showed that we create our life. We create what we do. We create what is unseen and make it matter based on the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And if we think we're unworthy, we are. And then how does that magnify the kingdom? By being unworthy. How many times you've been told in your head, well, I need to go lay hands on that person, or I need to pray for that person, but no, I don't want to do that because I might show up God weak. So I'll just be, I don't want to embarrass God, so I'm just not going to do it. I mean, is that, anybody else had that? Maybe it's just me. But I've done that before, and it's wrong. And you're like so frustrated. Why did I just not do what I was supposed to do? What's it going to cost me to go over there and pray for that person? You know? Fear. Mm-hmm. That's right. And what were we taught? We were worms in the dirt. We're sinners. Right, right. Well, I agree with you. Our greatest fear, we're talking about fears, it's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. I'm going to say it straight up because this is so true, this lady. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented and fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Right? But with that, there's great responsibility. I don't want to do that stuff. I just want to blame God. God, why'd you do this? God, why do you let bad things happen? Who's got all power, dominion, and authority? We do, through Christ Jesus. So if bad stuff happens, whose fault is it? He's already got the end done. It's finished. He already knows what that looks like. How long it takes us is our thing, right? I mean, how long was it supposed to take the Israelites to get to the promised land? What's that? 11 days. All right, so we'll say 11 days. I've heard 6 months, 3 months. Not too long. How long did it take them? 40 years. Why? They had doubt. They had doubt. They said, we are like grasshoppers. There was only two that ended up living, Caleb and Joshua, that got into the promised land because they had no doubt. So it's just, this is hard, but this is truth. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can change it anytime you want to take accountability and responsibility. But the one thing we have to do is we have to change what we're doing. You can't expect to get any new results in your life if you're doing the same thing over and over again. It ain't going to work. Crap in, crap out. It's like a computer. Put garbage in, garbage is coming out. You've got to feed good, positive things to you. Give it a try. Try to create something. Just try. And you'll be so far ahead of everyone else that doesn't even believe they can do anything, that they're just a victim, pushed around on the sea of life. Right? This is a passion for me. Just try. Just try something. We'll give some tools next time. But I'm saying, just right now, actually, next time what we're going to talk about, too, is the actual how to create. How do I actually do it? Nick, give me some tools, will you? I want to actually know what I can do to create. And then we'll go through that. All right? Any questions or statements? We have a little time. I was praying for an hour now. She didn't tell me she was 8:30. I'm a victim. I am a victim. I should have created something better. Okay. True that. Yep. Here's the thing. And I'm going to kind of put some religions together here. But God has preordained our steps. In other words, he's got a destiny for us. He's already set it out there. Now, a lot of religions will say, well, whatever God's will, because he's already laid it out there. No, he laid it out there, but we have this thing called choice. I mean, I had this great destiny, and then I started drinking, and it's more, and then drinking some more, and then all of a sudden I'm in jail, and I'm like, this is probably not where God wanted me. And then I got out, stopped drinking, and found Promise Keepers, and started getting closer, and then all of a sudden I'm back on my, you know, every now and then you're up and down, but I'm where I'm supposed to be, and you know what? That's where he lays up the blessing. It's in the place he wants you, not where you want to be. It's in the place that he called you to be. That's where he's put the blessing. Who's that? Was that Elijah or Jacob? Who's the one that had the birds bring him food and the water come? Elijah, right? And then it dried up when he wanted him to move. When it was time for you to move, everything dried up. But we don't want to move. We're anchored. We're not moving. I'm staying here. Okay, boom. Now you're moving. Because you can't steer a ship that ain't moving. Right?
I also like an airliner that takes off from Phoenix, Santa Barbara, and going to deal with the work. As soon as it lifts off the ground, it's off course.
True.
It
truth, and all you do is make adjustments. Yep.
Then when you veer off course, all you do is make a slight adjustment and you're right back on course. And you're always kind of giving it this. So don't get mad at yourself when you go off course.
Well, here's the thing, too. You just said don't get mad at yourself. This is where sin comes in. People say, well, I messed up again, so I'm done. I'm going to stop trying. Now, sin, and the word is hermantano. It means missing the mark, not receiving the prize. It doesn't mean offense against God. It means missing the mark, not receiving the prize. Are you still in God's presence? Are you sinless? Does he see splotches on the robe of righteousness that you're wearing? No. So you messed up. Wipe off, get up, try it again. Wipe off, get up, try it again. That's the key. Let's just quit. Let's go hide in the church. Please, God, come and get me. Rapture, I need to get out of here quick because this place is a mess and I'm not liking it. Right? That's the victim mindset. When we're supposed to be representing him and be the victor, the one that changes things. We're the environment changer. We're the one that brings order to chaos because of the Holy Spirit living in us, right? So, anyway. Anybody else got anything to share? We got about 10 minutes. Okay, next time I'll be a little longer on this thing.
So 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, that's the 21st, yeah. And this will be on www.nickcastellano.com, and there's a whole bunch of other teachings there. All my other teachings are on there as well, and you just download them. And if you have any questions, I also have my email address, nickcast3@cox.net. And I just want you to try some things, not just to come here and listen, but try to come here and change. Because if we can actually change some things, we can make a big difference. And I don't just mean us as together, but your life can change so much just by changing some of the things you do. Make sense? We're not going to get lost in a religion. That's not our job. But we are going to get lost in a relationship, and we are going to get lost in this relationship, and we're going to help each other out and promote each other. And tell each other successes. If you have a success, let's talk about it. Why did it work? That's why I just kind of told you a little bit about how all of a sudden I saw wealth in my life. Really, a lot of times the hardest thing to do is receive wealth. I've been trained to give it all day long. I've been trained up offering tithe, this, that, here, go, take it. I don't need anything. But I haven't been taught how to receive. And how can I ever do anything great if I don't know how to receive it? Right? Yeah, my dad would get a $500,000 check a year, and he would have nothing because he'd give it all away. And he left nothing for my mother when he passed because he just gave it all away. And that was his commission check for one big account, was $500,000 a year. And it was like, he'd take us to Vegas, then he'd give everybody $50,000 each. And, you know, at the time you think, Dad is great, but he couldn't receive the money for himself because he was unworthy. And if you believe you're unworthy, you're right. Lottery winners, right? How many times do lottery winners win and then in 3 years they're broke?
Most.
Broke and divorced now. Because they didn't change their eye, who they were inside, before they received all that wealth on the outside. So it crushed them. Anyway, let's not take up too much time just talking. We'll pick this up in 2 weeks. It'll be the how-tos that we're going to talk about. You can ask any questions. You guys that weren't here, you can listen to the beginning part online. And oh, that's okay. It's cool. No, I mean, we all got stuff to do. I just appreciate you guys showing up. And any other questions? Do you mind if we pray? Okay, I'll do a quickie. Dear Father God, I thank you and I praise you today. I thank you for this crew here. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you they come here late on a Tuesday night just to learn something different. And I thank you that you give them the confidence and the wisdom to apply some of this in their life so that they can see the fruit that you've always wanted to give them, so that you've already laid up for them, that they can step in line with it. It'll hit them like a machine gun riddling over and over and over again. But it's not so much about the fruit, it's about the relationship, Papa. It's about the relationship with you and your son and others. Love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbors yourself. So I thank you for this. I thank you for the ability that we have to magnify you on this planet. And I thank you that we can repent, think a new way, and change our lives just with one thought. In Jesus' name, amen.